We are going through the book of Genesis, and we have come to chapter 39. This is a piece of God's Word that is particularly powerful because it touches the life and conduct of most of us. Most of us have had the experience of trying to do something right and of being misunderstood, sometimes maligned, when we had good intentions about the matter. And Joseph is one of those examples in Scripture where he did what was right. He was on the Lord's side, and in his heart there was complete dedication to the Lord, and everything backfired. Everything went against him. Now, for some people, when such a thing happens, they have second thoughts about their devotion to the Lord. They feel somehow the Lord has betrayed them. He hasn't produced what he should have. But Joseph does not have that attitude. Joseph is on the Lord's side, period. Whether it pays or whether it doesn't, whether he prospers or whether he goes down in defeat, he's on the Lord's side. If the ship sinks, he's going to sink with it. Now, I admire that in Joseph. He is an individual who has steely courage and will not quit. I admire him for that. But let's face it, when he was going through all of this, it was a real trial that was a terrible burden to bear. He has lived for the Lord, and his own family betrayed him. His brothers sold him into slavery. You can't think of a more contemptible deed to do to a member of the family. And they apparently, with glee, getting rid of this individual who was making life hard for them. They wanted to take advantage of their elderly father. They wanted to do things their way, and Joseph was insisting that things be done right. And so they got rid of him. And now, in chapter 39, the Scripture picks up that narrative once again. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So here is a worst-case scenario where he is sold into slavery, taken down into Egypt, and no chance to contact his father or the rest of his family, and no chance to tell anyone what had happened. He was a slave. He belonged to somebody else. And so he is in desperate circumstances. And in Egypt, of course, they want a good price for this, obviously, young, healthy, thoughtful slave. And so Potiphar, very important man in Egypt, is looking for servants, and he comes to the Ishmaelite and sees this man who, obviously, is strong. He can read and write. He can keep accounts. He's the kind of person who would make a good business manager. And so Potiphar buys him. And Potiphar now, the name means given by Ra, that is one devoted to the sun god, is a very, very important personage because he is captain of Pharaoh's bodyguard. There's no person in Egypt that Pharaoh trusted more than Potiphar. Potiphar was the defender of his life. Even in a kingdom as strong as Egypt, they were not without enemies. They were not without people in the hierarchy who would like to supplant him. And so Potiphar was the bodyguard. He was there to defend Pharaoh against all comers. A very esteemed person in the eyes of Pharaoh. Now, verse 2 says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Now, here it is. Joseph has lost his position in the Holy Land. He has been betrayed by his brothers. He's now a slave in Egypt, and the Lord was with him. Now, we must absorb that, friends. The Lord is not with people just when they prosper. The Lord is not with people only when they're making money and things are going well. He is with his people when they are faithful. And the economic status and the financial success is utterly unimportant. Now, friends, we live in a country where economic success and financial success are very important to people. This is what the majority of people live for. And somehow this has permeated Christianity so that somebody who is doing well and prospering, why, he has the Lord's blessing. That may not be the case. He may just be financially successful. After all, Potiphar was extremely successful, but he was a lost man standing under the judgment of God, even though everybody in Egypt knew his name. And many of them, no doubt, envied his position. Nobody envied Joseph. He was a slave, the lowest rung on the social ladder. But the Lord was with Joseph. Now this tells us that it does not matter where you are, what your position is, how much money you have. What's important is that you have God's blessing, that the Lord is with you. Because when that's the case, you can be an influence for good wherever you are. And this is Joseph. In verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now here's a worldly man, and he recognizes this young man, zealous, determined, and with the blessing of God on him. And Potiphar is impressed. He never had a steward like this before. Here's one who really, everything he touches, prospers. Now, Potiphar really was impressed by Joseph. And so he made him head over the whole household. He wasn't just business manager now. He ran the whole establishment. Everything that was done there was Joseph's position. He was the official steward of the household. He told all the slaves what they should do. He organized everything. It was marvelous. And so, in verse 5, it says, "It came about that from that time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field." Now, this tells us that the Lord's blessing on Joseph was so evident that everybody recognized God blessed him. Whatever he did, prospered. Whatever he did, went well. How could this happen? Well, it was a divine blessing. Potiphar had never seen anything like this before. And so he advanced Joseph to be the supreme servant he had, his right-hand man in the household. In verse 6, he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. With him, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Oh, yes, he had no doubt special likes and dislikes in food. He wanted to be sure he had the right food on the plate, which I'm sure Joseph was careful to do. But for the rest of the household, it was Joseph's business. Something needed to be done, see Joseph. So, Potiphar had an enviable position here, a kind of steward that really desired the best for his master and was capable of producing that. And he was sure there was divine prospering in the matter. Here's a slave in the household of a pagan, with a testimony so clear that the pagan realizes his God is blessing him because of Joseph. Wow. This is a real testimony, friends. And it tells us that God's blessing does not mean social prestige or financial prosperity. It means God's personal blessing. And Joseph had that. And he knew he had it. And everybody else knew also. What a testimony. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He not only had good health and wisdom and skill and business sense, but he was also a very handsome man. And this was going to backfire. And so in verse 7, it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph. and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Now here's Joseph on the side of what is right. Oh, let's be candid about this. There were a great many other stewards in Egypt who would have rather relished that proposition. They would have been only too happy to take advantage of their master, pay him back for the slavery that they had to endure. But Joseph is not cut out of that cloth. He is serving his master from the heart. And the well-being of his master is there with him. But he is thinking beyond this. He is thinking about his position before God. And so he asked the question, "How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Now there is the right perspective. The question is not offending his master, which is a noble thing for him to avoid. But the question is really, how can I do this in the sight of God? Well, his contemporaries there would have given him all kinds of advice. There were slaves all other who say, "Well, why not? Your God is not the God of Potiphar. Take advantage of him. Make him pay for this wicked situation you're in." No, Joseph was not listening to that. Joseph understood very clearly what his position was. He was in that household as a representative of Jehovah God, the true God. And what he did reflected upon his God. My friends, that is an idea that is forgotten by believers altogether too often. We must remember what Joseph sees here, that his position is not one of chance or worldly advancement. It is a place that God has put him in, and he hasn't asked for it. He has, I'm sure, asked to be out of that situation, but God put him there providentially, and he understands this is his place before God. And how can he then take advantage of that position and dishonor God? He's living in the sight of God. My friends, here is a lesson all of us must learn. All of us must apply to our own hearts and lives. Wherever God has put us, whatever we are doing, we are there because God has put us there. And we are responsible to God himself. And we must consider everything we're doing that it reflects upon our God. That is so powerful a truth, no less a person than Mahatma Gandhi, very famous person in the history of the world, a martyr for a cause, a very powerful leader of millions of people, learned about Christianity when he was in South Africa, and he encountered Christians that forever turned him off from Christ. And in later years, he said candidly to reporters, "I would have become a Christian if it were not for Christians." Boy, how that burns and stings. My friends, it is important how we are living. It is important how we put God first. And the allegiance that we give to him, it does affect others. They are watching. They may not admit it, but they are still watching. And so here is Joseph, standing in the sight of God. He could not do this against God. That was the bottom line. Very same thing that David says in Psalm 51. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." Oh, he was deeply convicted. Yes, he had hurt Uriah. Yes, he had hurt Bathsheba. That's right. But against God he had sinned. That was the most important thing before him. We need this, friends. We need to recognize that when we err, when we fall from our steadfastness, we are hurting God. It is against him that we are sinning. Oh, we may hurt people too. That's a minor detail compared to offending God. And Joseph understands. Now in verse 10, it came about as she spoke to Joseph day after day that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. So this is not a minor one-time affair. This is harassment. This is continuous. Every day she's there as a predator, just looking for him. Every day he's got to stand firm. It's an ordeal that he's going through. Now in verse 11, it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were there inside. And he was trapped without witnesses. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." He left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. All right? He is not changing at all. He is still on God's side. Doesn't matter that there's nobody else there to see. He's on God's side. And he runs rather than being trapped by sin. Now, the woman is a godless woman. She is obviously very wicked in her thinking processes. And now she has put herself in the idea of the spurned woman, and she's going to pay him back. After all, he's a slave, and she's a free woman. She's got power. And so she's going to use it. In verse 13, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled, she called to the men of the household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. It came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." And so now she's lying. Now she's fabricating a story. She's framing him. Now, talk about an iniquitous situation there. And here is Joseph on God's side, blessed of God, a testimony for God. And still, he goes down deeper. He was a free man, now he's a slave. He was able to order his own life, now he's got to obey Potiphar. And now, in that harassed position, Potiphar's wife is crushing him still further to the risk of his life. Now, verse 17. When Potiphar came to the house, she spoke to him, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, 'This is what your slave did to me,' that his anger burned." All right, now, here is an individual who has greatly admired Joseph. He has had a chance to see him day after day in a position of extreme faithfulness, great diligence, devotion to his God and to Potiphar himself. And now he hears something very detrimental against him, and he's angry. The text does not say how that anger was directed, but obviously Joseph was part of it. But the text goes on to add something very interesting. Verse 20, "So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail." Now in that culture and that day, if Potiphar had drawn his sword out and beheaded Joseph, nobody in Egypt would have blinked. I mean, for a slave to try to assault the mistress in the family, for the master to just kill him, sometimes slowly, would not have been regarded as anything extraordinary at all. After all, he was his property. He could get rid of him, couldn't he? But he doesn't. He puts him in jail. But there's another thing added. This was the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. So it was not the ordinary prison. It was the royal prison, where there were royal prisoners and where conditions were considerably better than the miserable hole that would have been the city jail. Now that tells me several things. One, Potiphar may have been angry all right, but he may have put two and two together here and figured out that his wife had been an engineer behind this. If he had really been mad, he could have responded a whole lot more vigorously. And putting Joseph in the royal prison, he got him out of reach of his wife. which may have been exactly what he intended. Certainly, he deals with Joseph very gently in the circumstances. And that tells me that Joseph's testimony was such that Potiphar was capable of seeing through all of this. He realized he had to get him out of the house, but he was going to get him out gently. And so he did. Now, in verse 21, "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer." Now, here the blessing of God does not diminish through all of this. It is still with Joseph. Joseph is standing on the Lord's side. It doesn't look like it from the results. He keeps getting down lower and lower. He's been a slave, that's bad enough. Now he's in jail. You know, how much worse can it get? And the text says the Lord was with him. Now this tells us there are no limits to this. God can be with an individual no matter how low he gets, no matter how desperate the situation. God does not abandon his people. He never does. Now friends, sometimes we get discouraged on that score. We look at circumstances and we say, "Oh, God has forgotten me. You know, why did this have to happen?" No, he has not forgotten me. That's something that every last one of us who know the Lord can say with assurance. God never forgets his people. Well, it remains a question. Why has he put me into this place? And sometimes we have no answer to that one. We have no idea. And this is Joseph. He had no idea why this had to happen. Why did his family have to betray him? Why did his master's wife have to frame him? Why does he have to get crushed down lower and lower? He had no answer. He was still on God's side. And the Lord was with him. What he didn't know was that God was accomplishing a tremendous thing that was going to be greatly for his benefit. It certainly was not visible. There was no hint to Joseph whatsoever in this. But God was putting Joseph in a place where he was going to come to Pharaoh's attention and where he was going to become the supreme ruler of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. And Joseph had no hint of this, no desire for it. He was just trying to serve God. The ceiling was caving in. Now, friends, this is in Scripture for a very definite reason. Because every believer runs into situations for which he has no answer. Why did this have to happen? And you can't think of one good reason. Why is this disappointment? Why is this failure? Why did this have to happen? You know. And sometimes we have to say, we don't know. But God does know. There is not a single thing that can happen to you as a believer but what God allowed that to happen for your good. That's what Scripture says. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. There is not one thing that can happen to you that is actually harmful to you. You may think so. You may be firmly persuaded that this is absolutely without redeeming virtues, but not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, it happens for a purpose. Joseph must be put in a position where Pharaoh is going to reach him. Well, pause for a moment. How can you get in contact with the head of a country? Now, we live in a free country. Some of you may like to meet our president. Call him up and ask him. See if you can get an introduction to the White House. You'll get the third secretary of somebody over there. It's not likely that you'll get a personal interview. Now, in Egypt, ancient Egypt, Pharaoh was a god. Nobody contacted him except the elite that were in his palace. There was no way somebody could contact the Pharaoh. And so, what did God do? God put Joseph in the exact spot where he was going to be contacted by Pharaoh, the other way around. Now, friends, this chapter is a chapter of encouragement for us. There are many things for which we have no answer. many problems that we face for which we can't find a solution. And the answer is not, oh, God has forgotten me. No, no, that is never the Christian's answer. The answer is, God is accomplishing His purpose. And He alone knows, sometimes, why these things happen. But He does have a purpose that is glorious and great. His purpose is our blessing, our exaltation. And again in this chapter, the Lord was with Joseph. Didn't matter what happened. The Lord was with Joseph. And is repeated again and again. Why? To tell us that truth. No matter what happens, God is with you. If you are faithful and you're going to stand for Him, there is nothing that can harm you. Nothing that can happen to you except what God allows. And He intends good out of those circumstances. My friends, this is one of the most comforting chapters in all the Bible. But oftentimes people brush through it and don't see what this is saying about our lives today. And so, here's the jailer. And he finds in his possession now this prisoner. And this prisoner is an intelligent man. He has been the steward of the bodyguard of Pharaoh, an individual with great capabilities, obviously. Well, the chief jailer here doesn't want to do any more work than he has to. How about letting this fellow act as a trustee? How about putting him in charge and letting him run things? Joseph is ready to serve. He has no ill will. He's prepared to step in and organize things for the jail. And the chief jailer finds out, hey, here's a fellow who is really competent. He can take care of everything. So what does he do? He puts everything into his hand. He sits back and plays tiddlywinks. He has no problem about this. He's released from all his worries. And Joseph takes care of it all. And Joseph is glad to serve. He serves in a palace, and he serves in a jail. He served his father at home. It was always the same. God was first, and he was a servant. He was faithful wherever he was. And the Lord was with him. And the Lord blessed him. And what is interesting is, he blesses all those around him. He blessed Potiphar while he was in his household. He blesses the jailer while he's there. God is blessing other people because of Joseph. Here is a goal for all of us, friends. That we might so live and be so devoted to God that others would be blessed because we happen to be there. You know, friends, you've got to think hard sometimes to figure out people who are blessed just because you're around. Sometimes our being there is a problem rather than a blessing. But friends, that is what happened for Joseph. Others were blessed because he was there. And he wasn't trying to get there. He wasn't trying to maneuver himself into places. He was just there by the providence of God. And he was a blessing. And God used him. There is an example we can all follow. To be on God's side. To be useful. To love to serve. To be a blessing to others. That is a door that is open to all of us. Doesn't matter. The financial income, the social status. Joseph had none of these things. He was the bottom rung. And he was blessing everybody he was contacting. My friends, let us determine in our hearts that we are not going to absorb the attitude of the world and the practice of the world, but that we're going to put ourselves on God's side wherever we are, wherever we happen to be, whoever we meet, we are God's representatives, and we're going to live for Him, that He might use us to bless others. Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us that we fail to see Thy hand. Forgive us that we get impatient, downcast, and discouraged. Forgive us that we fail to see the blessed providence of Thy hand in our lives. And help us to understand what Thou art doing. Help us to be so devoted to Thee, so dedicated to Thee, that our life can be a testimony to those who don't know Thee, and to all those who do know Thee, who need the example of faithfulness and fidelity to Thee. Lord, forgive us for discontent, misunderstanding. Cleanse us from these thoughts. And help us instead to so live that our lives may be a testimony for Thee. That we may live to Thy glory wherever Thou hast put us. That we may be a blessing. Make us a blessing, Lord. For Jesus' sake. Amen.